here's a guy that we often start the show with. It is a show named after him, by the way. It's our old pal, Paul McLeod. It's his birthday today. And that's reason enough to celebrate for sure. We should also celebrate because he's got a fine new record called Gage on Busted Flat Records, which is a fine, fine label. And so we're going to play something off that and something from our namesake disc and all kinds of other stuff. Let's celebrate Paul McLeod's birthday, shall we? So maybe we'll kick it off with this song here. This is Paul McLeod. And by the way, Paul, if you're up there, give us a call. 204-269-8636. He said he's going to listen to that. So maybe. We'll see. Let's change your life.
Thank you.
Ever since, and it's a pleasure to welcome him back after years. Paul McLeod, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, Jeff. Thanks so much for inviting me, and thank you very much.
I've invited you so many times over the years, I was starting to take it personally. I thought you didn't like me anymore. I was getting a little worried.
Oh, no, it's quite the opposite. I'm enamored with you, so I'm being
So how's things been?
The last time we saw each other at Glenn Gould Theater.
That's right. Yeah, I showed up in Toronto there a couple of years ago at the Skydigger show, just to say hi. But yeah, we haven't talked on the show. Like, you were supposed to be on our very first show in 2002.
Yeah.
We were going to talk on the air, and then you went for a bike ride, and I don't think we ever connected since.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I hope it wasn't the day. If you could remember the date, I could tell you exactly, but that was the year I had gotten a racing license back again on a road bike, and there was out training and was in really good shape. And that was the year I hit a dog that wasn't on a leash.
Oh, no.
A downhill section of road, and I was really, really going, and just completely T-bombed the dog and broke my collarbone and scapula and a bunch of ribs on my right side, and pretty much spent 6 or 7 months immobilized from the waist up.
Wow.
Sitting around on painkillers. So, yeah.
It was September 29th, 2002.
Okay.
That
makes sense.
Oh, wow. So obviously you've healed up from that.
No problem. The first thing I did was go for a bike ride. And I could start playing because it was my right collarbone. I couldn't do too much guitar-wise to get my arm in a position around the guitar, even a very thin guitar.
Right.
So instead I could, just do things with, say, a mandolin or, grab tiny little toy instruments or whatever, so it wasn't like I wasn't able to do any work. And thankfully, I had been so busy leading up to that with the record Close and Play with Hosley Workman and the Skydiggers that didn't put me out in the street or sitting around for 7 months not being able to, because it was really about a 7 month forced break. So it wound up being, it was frustrating at the time because there was so much on the go, but it wound up being good. I came out of it with a whole bunch of songs, and like most people who go through some really bad accident, a better appreciation for things I've taken for granted. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, so many people, when they have an experience like that, it changes them. But if for you, obviously, it was kind of a positive thing. Or something.
In the sense that I kind of it's a matter of time with doing that as even as a hobby, let alone a sport, road biking, any kind of biking. Matter of time, you go down. So you'll eventually hit the ground, whether it's inattention or just a flat or some roots on the trail or a rock, whatever. So
we were done.
so you have to be ready for it. And so it was okay. I was just really, really, because it was an ugly little thing, and
haven't seen them playing with the Skydiggers, and then you had that other band, Hibakusha, I think it was called. And
yeah, we have some more stuff. That's just whenever we can get together and do some work, we do. And we've actually got, I think Corey Barnes, the guitar player and engineer, producer of the whole project, has posted some of the stuff at our CDC3.
Oh, yeah.
And Hibakusha, HIV, if you're looking that up, it's just started.
Yeah.
He's posted some of the new stuff that we've been working on, but again, there's never any definitive plans with that music as of yet. We've done a few little spurts here and there, and that's been great, but we've got 8 songs fully recorded and close to finished mixes right now, so who knows? Well, at the rate we put something out, that could be something in 5 years.
Yeah, because that record, that's pretty old, I guess, too, that record.
Oh, yeah. It was old, and even half of the tracks on it were probably 5 years old before they saw the light of day. It definitely didn't sound like the year it came out, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It probably sounded that it was, there was a couple of really good reviews about it. And the guy, I really respect Michael Barkley, really hit the nail on the head and said it was a great, great project, and its timing was 5 years previous. And but because we've never really just buckled down with that band and gone at it full speed. So it's something that if it is gonna wind up doing that, it would have to happen really organically at this point, especially with, you know, everybody being closer to 40 and everybody, you know, and one of us has a child. So I mean there are other priorities than a part time band you play in once in a while.
Right.
Yeah.
I was glad to see you sort of resurface on Busted Flat Records a few years ago. And
thank you. Me too.
It just seems like such a... I don't know Mark Logan at all, but I kind of wish I did, because he seems like such a cool guy, and it seems like such a cool home for so many great things. I mean, it seems like that has really sort of fueled a bunch of things for you. I see, first of all, you've put out a couple of records in fairly quick succession. You've been doing some more touring and stuff, it seems like, since then.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the main things that it's... that Mark's a great guy, first of all, if I can backtrack. You're right about that. We live roughly in the same neighborhood in Kitchener, near the center in the square, in the old downtown part, if that means anything to the listeners. It's a nice old neighborhood. And he's about a kilometer away, and then a kilometer around us in the triangle is Norman Blake from Teenage Fan Club, believe it or not. So it's a fun neighborhood to hang out and have a beer with someone and just talk. But he's just a really, really supportive guy, a generous guy, a genuine guy. He doesn't put out records under the expectation of massive sales in a climate where massive sales for an indie with not a great deal of marketing budget isn't accessible. So he's very realistic and really supportive, and I think that helps at the end of the day, more so than I ever thought when putting out records with indie and a distributor. To actually get along with someone so well means you've got an extra set of ears, another shoulder when I need it, you know what I mean? He's just a wonderful guy, and so it really helps. It keeps me a little more motivated to have somebody else who's interested in what you're doing and why you put more things out. And the touring was with the Stag, and I hit the road pretty seriously after I released Red Eyes Fade, and he's on the label as well. And then Lynn and I have done about 2 or 3 tours since then, and it's just been, you know, all over Ontario, different artists from the label and mixed in there. The Skydiggers that started playing again in 2009 with a 20-year anniversary, so it's been a really fun few years.
Yeah,
it's been great.
Well, if I've been bugging you, if you ever want to come out this way, we'll certainly do it upright here in Winnipeg if you ever want to come and visit us again.
Well, I'm definitely due to, so I'm going to take you up on that and get in touch really soon, because I would love to. And I've just finished the last bunch of dates I did, were about 3 weeks ago, from Montreal to Toronto. That was with the Stag, and I again just did an 8-day run. Playing all the stops from Montreal back into southwestern Ontario and getting home. It was, for me, it was, well, that covers the East Coast for about a
single yeah. record. It's called Gage, and it's kind of almost a return to Tell a Band to Go Home. It's you. I mean, there's yeah. not much else going on this record, but Paul McLeod.
Yeah, well, it's what I wanted. It was what I wanted to do, and so you know, spent just again a good two solid years of touring, and then coming home to make a record, and nothing else makes sense at that point. And you go, well, no, these songs developed out there on the road. They've been honed on the road. Let's capture that.
Yeah,
and short of taking it out and setting it up to get a proper live recording, much like the Tell the Band to Go Home album, which the Skydiggers are ultimately responsible for because they were recording that entire tour and I was opening the shows. To do that, you know, is definitely hit or miss, but when you know you've come off the road for, say, 30 straight days or 40 straight days of shows, and you're really on, and the songs are new and fresh, and, well, let's just get them and keep them like that, because that's how they're being presented, and it only makes sense. And so I find I get, the more time I spend on the road, the more I make records like that, the less time I spend on the road, the more I start dicking around.
Yeah.
Just to try it, you know, just
yeah,
to see
where
things will go. So I find it's more of a reaction to where I'm at that point. And so there's another one of those coming soon.
Oh, nice.
It's, yeah, so it's, yeah, it was recorded in the night and then next night and tweaked the next night. And I think I did another vocal on the second night. But that, the whole point of that was basically to just to get it, you know, to get it done as quickly as possible, performance-oriented, and capture what was going on. And so there are obviously more songs than that. So I'm going to be coming up with another one sooner than later because I just didn't feel more than, say, 25, 30 minutes of kind of one flat sound coming at you was, I wondered if the listen would drag, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's 35, but I could be wrong. Most of the reviews I read mentioned that they felt it was a little short, so maybe this one will be a little longer.
Well, you know, sometimes so often it's better to leave people wanting a little bit more than to bore them to death, you know. Tell the Band to Go Home always frustrated me because I felt like I wanted to hear more, but about the same time, if it had gone on forever, maybe I wouldn't have left it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, no, that's good to know because, yeah, it might have even been my overreaction to the fact that when CDs were first everywhere, not just the early days where there'd be a small section of discs and they were everywhere, if you remember, it was 75 minutes of music.
Yeah.
And it would be 75 minutes of David Wilcox. 75 minutes would be this attempt to fill, like, as if filling every available, you know, bit on the disc was the best thing to do for the listener. I don't necessarily know that it is, but, you know, maybe I'm taking it too far in the other direction. I don't know.
Well, it seems to be working out okay for us here.
Great.
Has the reaction been pretty strong? I mean, it's a bit bluesier of a record than I was used to.
Yeah, I think it's more to do with spending all the time finger picking, and that's in a lot of those songs, like Be My Girl. It just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of fun with that because that coming out of me one night just literally had me in stitches. And I thought, you know, I guess I thought I was Hoyt Axton for the year.
I think we all wish we could be Hoyt Axton for a
year. Yeah, so I think it's got more of that. I think because I'm a lot looser about the approach to things. I'm not being as precious, obviously. It's just organically, like anyone else, you get older, you start to care less about, you know, outside influences, what people are thinking, and you know, more in the lines of, I'm having a lot of fun with this, so what's the, why don't I do that?
Yeah.
Because the point, yeah, and that was, again, I think it's morphed out of spending all that time as a live artist was
So, yeah, keep it coming.
I definitely will, Jeff.
It's Paul McLeod, PaulMacLeod. If you're looking up on the internet, PaulMacLeod.com or Busted Flat Records also has this stuff. And you can get Tell the Band to Go Home and all that stuff from Busted Flat, right?
Yeah, you can get all of that on the Busted Flat site or iTunes, any other online outlet you can think of. It'll be at the Busted Flat. It's pretty self-contained. It's a great website, and they're streaming stuff and videos up. If you want to go check some stuff out.
Excellent. Well, it's your birthday, Paul. I can't thank you enough for spending a little bit of your birthday with us. Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's a real
pleasure. I'll make sure I do it more often.
Yeah, please do.
I could call in like Norm MacDonald. Call in the Dennis Miller Show and just bore your audience. Because I'm not Norm MacDonald.
Well, you're fine with us, sir. All right. So we got to play something else from your record. Is there anything in particular?
From the new record?
Yeah.
I guess there's a song on the record that I only played. It's the first performance of the song ever. It's the very last track. And I think I called it Belongs to You.
Yeah.
I never remember the title. That song was written like right after I got home from touring, knowing I was going into the studio. I had this idea that I wanted to I had an idea for the lyric and the message of the lyric, but more so the music. And yeah, so this will be more, I think when you were talking about the bluesy stuff, this kind of gets back to the feel where a lot of people, would talk to me and associate with me about what I do. I love this. I like this one a lot. So if you're allowed to like one of your own tunes, this one I like. This one I can listen to this one in a mix.
Excellent.
On a shuffle, and I won't skip it.
What else? I want to play you something else that you enjoy, and not necessarily yourself, but do you have any other requests, like something else that inspires you or something that would fit in well?
Oh, wow. Geez. I've been listening. There's a few things I've been listening to in the last little while that I really, really like. So, do you have any Luke Kelly?
Luke Kelly? I don't know that I do, actually.
Oh, okay, I don't know if there are any Dubliners records that I really, really like Luke Kelly. But, is there any replacements that fits the bill?
Well, I'm sure we could find something.
Yeah, cool, because I think even something later, like Achan the Bee would be a good one, and if not, then Can't Hardly Wait.
All right, I can...
Or your choice.
We can certainly do that for you. It's a real pleasure. You have a great birthday. And careful, watch out for dogs out there.
All right, I will. I most definitely do now. I'm on a bicycle. Anytime I see one, I'm pretty much on the brakes now.
Yeah, be careful.
That will never go away. So I didn't come out of it not completely unscathed.
All right, it's Paul McLeod, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cosmic, and maybe the ukulele tribute to their placement, Street and Bound, by a band called Bright Little Field. Throw one more for you. Kiss Me on the Bus there. Before that, we heard the Replacements with Ethan B. And Mr. Paul McCloud with the last track on his latest record, Cloud Gauge. It belongs to you. Well worth checking out, well worth tracking down any of his records, really.